You're listening to The Common Cause with Phil Lyman and Mike Peterson.
Is this Representative-elect Michael J. Peterson?
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing?
It's been a good long day. I'll be glad to talk and then hit the hay.
It's Veterans Day. You're supposed to be taking the day off, like I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. I would have liked to. You know, I did actually do one Veterans Day activity. I got a message this morning from Chris Booth. Chris is the GOP party chair, and there's a family that's built a place to honor veterans. It's down in Logan, and so I went down, spent a little while touring that place, meeting some folks down there. So I did do a little bit of Veterans Day celebration today. Not enough. We of course have our flag out front of the house, but how about you?
I do have the flag up, and yeah, I didn't do anything ceremonious for Veterans Day, but I have thought about it all day long, and I do, you know, every Veterans Day you think about some of those people that you've known and that aren't here anymore and the sacrifices that they've made. And
Did your dad serve in the military? I can't remember.
He was in the Korean War, but he was never deployed to Korea, so he was just here stateside before he got deployed. It wrapped up. Was your dad in Korea too?
No, my dad was born in 40, but he joined the Air Force when he was with his brother, Uncle Leonard. They joined the Air Force. He served for 4 years. He served in Hawaii, and he was in up near Tacoma, Washington. He was a propeller mechanic, is what he did. So,
oh yeah.
Anyway,
nice.
Yeah. And then I got a, of course, grandfather's up. But then I got a son-in-law who's in the Navy. That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're Courtney. You got a military family there. Sarah's husband.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Taking Chance?
I haven't, but I'll write it down. Is it one I need to see?
Yeah, you need to see that one. Yeah, it's pretty special. It's good movie. It's a war movie, but it doesn't have any war. It's just about kind of an aftermath and a really good story. I won't spoil it, so you can. But yeah, you should go watch that.
Say the name again. I didn't write it down, and I should have.
Taking Chance.
Okay.
Got Kevin Bacon in it. It's good.
I have a list of movies on my phone, and so I'll just add it to that list. So good.
Yeah.
Well, anything else going on today?
I think like you, I've been getting a lot of phone calls and messages and just a lot of activity surrounding the governor's order and, you know, what does this mean to my business? Am I going to get fined $10,000? What kind of signage do I have to put up? You know, what are the consequences? Does this really have teeth? You know, can they really do this? And so a lot of things like that.
You know, I got an email today from a business owner here in town that was sort of interesting because they are very pro everything that the governor is doing. They don't have a problem with it. In fact, they welcome it because they want to keep their customers and their employees healthy. But she said that what their deal is that when they have an employee who starts to show some symptoms, you know, sore throat, coughing, that kind of thing, they try to get tested, and it's taking 4 or 5 days here in Cache Valley to find a place for them to get tested, and then they have to wait another 3 days to get the results back. And she said that's what's killing her, is that of their last three employees that tested, two came back negative, but yet they'd missed almost 2 weeks of work just trying to figure out if they had COVID or not. And so she was getting hold of me to see if I could do something to help speed up the testing here in Cache Valley.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. And then this rapid test, I know a couple of people who have tested positive on a rapid test because they're getting ready to go in for surgery or something and they test positive. So they go and they take another test and they test negative. And so it's frustrating that all the problems with testing. And the more testing they
Yep.
do, the more problems they're going to find. So.
Yep. I had somebody else call me today. She wanted to. This is kind of a nice one. She called because she said, "Mike, I got a homeschool group. There's about 12 of us. We're wanting to know what can we do to help you. How can we support you?" And I thought that was so awesome. I mean, they have lots of questions, of course, around the Governor Herbert's mandate and things. But they called because they wanted to know how they could support me in my first session coming up in January. I thought that's pretty cool.
That is good. That is good. Yeah, I got an email yesterday from the lobbyists at the church, and that's always a fun lobby to talk to. They've always got interesting things, and they said the same thing. If there's anything we can help you with, and I thought, well, that's good. So you'll get to know those guys. They've got the church has a an interesting political outreach, which is very effective.
I also had. It just dropped off. What was the? I had somebody else that contacted me, that I wanted to tell you. Well, you keep talking, and it'll come to me.
Well, one thing that I was reading through some of the material from the governor's order, and he says that the state has been under most of the counties have been under a mandate for masks, but making it statewide will make it more uniform. And I thought, well, if most of the counties are already under a mandate, shouldn't we see the numbers going down instead of going up? And so saying, well, now we're all going to wear masks, and maybe that will make the numbers go down. And the solution just doesn't fit the problem. We're dealing with kind of a hope. Maybe if everyone wears a mask, the numbers will start to go down. And that's the fallacy of this, I think.
I got the we're in a tough spot because there's so much, I think, misinformation that's been out there. And I think people just don't know quite what to believe and what to do. I had somebody send me a text last night with a link to a video about the suicide rate in Utah has been increasing. Now, I went and checked. I'm not so certain that we're increasing so much, but I did find it interesting that according to the I should remember the name of the group, but National Suicide Prevention Association, I think is what it was called. They show that in Utah so far, we've already had over 600. It was just under 700 suicides in the state of Utah. So yeah. we have more suicides in the state of Utah than we've had COVID deaths, which I think is an interesting situation. I don't know what that means and what that means for what the state has been trying to do. I don't know. It confuses me.
Yeah. If nothing else, it's kind of a selective concern over what's hurting people. And for some reason, COVID has taken this front stage that it's the most important thing out there when people die all the time from lots of different causes TB, kills a lot of people. Pneumonia kills a lot of people, and yet for some reason, and I'm not downplaying COVID because I know COVID is a nasty disease and people do die from it. So people should be careful. And like you said, the business there that's concerned and trying to protect their employees and do the right thing. And that's what I've observed when I go, especially up on the northern end of the state. I was out in Duchesne last week in Vernal, and every store had a mask mandate and everybody was wearing masks and yet we feel the need for another executive order to basically tell people to do what they're already doing for whatever reason they're doing it.
I saw one of the grocery stores here in town had the sign that said, and they've had this up for like a week, that said that you had to wear a mask, and it was a law that you had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure how to respond to that, but anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So interesting on this. I was doing a little bit of research, and I've talked to a couple of attorneys today as well. And just the legality, can the governor extend a state of emergency just by declaring a new one? And their conclusion was, no, he cannot. So the state of emergency that was recently declared is invalid. It's not effective. It doesn't have any effect. which since the health department's declaration was under that same emergency, then all of those parts of the health department declaration are invalid. But the labor department can issue an emergency rule independent of the governor and the health department. And so they're saying, yeah, the labor department's $10,000 fine actually does have some legal basis to it.
So back up, why what would make the governor's executive orders be illegal? Do you know?
So when you declare a state of emergency, it's good for 30 days and then it expires unless the legislature extends it. So the legislature extended it. In fact, I think we extended it twice.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then it expired, what, in August? End of August?
Yeah. Like that, so March, mm-hmm. April, May, probably the end of May. Let's see, March, April, May, maybe June. I think it would have expired in June. And we got together and don't hold me on this because I can't remember when we extended and what we did. But at one point there, maybe it was in August, that we said, no, we're not extending this anymore. And the governor basically said, well, thanks for meeting and thanks for talking about it. I'm just declaring a new state of emergency.
That's right. Just did another one. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, was there a new emergency? Was there something new that took place that hadn't been addressed by the previous state of emergency? And if so, that state of emergency was void, you know, the new one, it's not valid.
So, but this new one he did, the emergency is the overrun, population at the hospital, right?
I mean, he stated that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
believe me, I'm not saying it's a good thing. It looks to me like what he's doing is he's just sort of he's found a little loophole in this, and so he's just taking advantage of it.
Well, I mean, you're not a state legislator yet, but you're almost to become a state legislator, and this is the same dilemma that we face in the legislature. Is we're trying to answer all the same questions that the people have, and yeah. So I mean, that's an interesting point. Well, the state of emergency now is hospital overcrowding, I guess, would be maybe the state of emergency that he's declaring.
Why would the health department and their edicts not be valid, but the labor department would? Explain that one to me again.
Well, what I understood from the attorney was the Labor Department can issue what they call a 120-day emergency rule, but to do that, they have to, you know, do a study, issue their findings, have a little bit of a public process, and then they can issue their emergency rule. And one of the rules could be, the businesses have to wear masks and put up these signs or be subject to a $10,000 fine. And so that was interesting that the Governor Herbert said that the fine would be coming from the Department of Labor, you know, not from the health department, not from the state, but from the Department of Labor. So, and it's under that 120-day emergency rule that they have the right to put in place.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, I wish we had more answers. That's one of the things I had somebody else call me tonight, and she asked a lot of questions, and I said, you know, I wish I had all the answers, but my guess is I don't think anybody in the state has the answers to most of the stuff that's going on right now. Things are a little sideways.
So then you come back to, and this is the question I get all the time. Well, what can we do? And what can the legislature do? And if the legislature is not going to meet in a special session, And I think they very well could, as we talk about it and try to persuade him to do that, we could meet in a special session. But you know, these agencies, the health department, they may be under the executive branch, but they get their budgets from the state legislature, and we do ultimately make the laws. So hopefully these agencies, you know, if you were to call them or if I were to call them, would understand, even though we may not agree on this, they don't want to be contrary to a state legislator, because we're going to pass some laws that could affect them or affect their budget. So, you know, it's that pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered. And if they're going too far, they're going to have things come back on them during the legislative session.
You know, that's interesting you'd say, because I got an email today from somebody who talked about, I'll just read this a couple of lines. Today I tried to contact the Barry River Health Department to inquire about reasons for delay in testing. They did not answer a phone call. Their message states business hours, a phone number, and then for emergency needs, another phone number, and for COVID information, and then returns to a dial tone, no opportunity to speak to anybody. So they were a little discouraged. And that leads me to one more thing I want to mention to you. So one of the other calls I got was from someone who said that she would like to see a bill that says that if you are an appointed or elected official in the state, when you take your oath of office, which you know, always includes the statement about defending the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies, she said, her experience is that most folks who swear that oath don't know enough about the Constitution to even make that oath. And she was saying, Mike, I think what we ought to do is have require a class of everybody that takes that oath, so that they know what they're doing. Now, I told her, I'm not going to go that way with her. But it is an interesting thought about when you think about health departments and labor commissions and so forth, putting together policies and fines and all this stuff, and wondering, are they doing things that are actually in keeping with the Constitution? Especially when you think about the Constitution, the purpose of the Constitution is to safeguard liberty.
Right. Right. Well, and the purpose of various branches of government, the federal versus the state, all of those things are to protect individual liberty. You know, it's not, it's like, hey, the state should be the ones to take away your liberty, not the federal government. It's like, no, the federal government should step in if the states are taking away your liberty, and states should step in if the federal government is overstepping. And and it's all about preserving individual liberty. And this is one of the things that kind of rubs me so wrong when the state starts doing things that are heavy handed, is you get people looking to the federal government saying, you know, we don't trust the state of Utah. We'd rather have the federal government telling us what to do. And that just, it undermines the whole idea of state sovereignty and, you know, government by the people. And, you know, anyway, all those principles that make America, America.
We'll have to talk about that one on another phone call, because I got some thoughts about that too, and it could get a little out of control.
Yeah, but the state. I said today to somebody, I said, you know, it's like trusting somebody with the codes to the nuclear weapons, and then hoping that they don't ever use them, and finding out, yeah, we should maybe it was too much to ask that we give them that much trust. And I feel that way with the executive. Mm-hmm. Order authority. You know, I think the legislature was very trusting in that. So if the governor wants to disregard the wishes of the legislature, then likely that law is going to change for the future governor.
That's right. It will have to.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, we've been talking 20 minutes.
That's just about right. I love touching base with you on these things, and your perspective, and kind of the people you're talking to, and just kind of how you see things. And I'm really looking forward to having you in the legislature and doing some good things there. I know you just do some great stuff for your district.
Well, if you could see, I'm smiling. If we were doing this video podcast, you'd see I'm smiling right now. I'm excited. A little nervous, but a lot excited. So
yeah,
it should be it'll be a good experience. Looking forward to the challenges. So
okay,
today's Wednesday night.
Yep.
When do you want to talk next?
Let's see what. Let's see what happens.
See what.
next couple of days. I'm good to chat again. You know,
okay.
Friday or over the weekend. So,
whenever you got something you need to talk about, give me a call and I'll call you and we'll tee it up.
Okay, awesome.
Okay,
appreciate you, Mike.
Tell Jody hi.
We'll do. Say
okay,
hi to Sally.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay,
bye bye.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to The Common Cause with Phil and Mike. You can email your comments and questions to thecommoncausepodcast@gmail.com. We hope you'll subscribe and that you'll give us a 5-star review.